الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن أشد الناس عذابا يوم القيامة المصورون، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. We are discussing this topic for a few weeks now, and we still just a little bit wrapping up, but because of the necessity of it, one, it is such a great guna, and it is not in our minds. And one, it is so common, all of us are involved in it. We see pictures all the time. Even if we don't take, but we are seeing pictures, and we don't think of making tawbah and istighfar. And that is very important, try and avoid as much as possible of seeing it. Today the environment is made, it's everywhere. But we should try and avoid it and at least make tawbah istighfar for all our wrong. And the other thing is that friends are asking a few questions, and that also has to be cleared up. So two main things that we will discuss today, two questions which people have in their mind. One is that it's a necessity. Like for example, for your ID, you have to take a photo, you've got no choice, you have to take. And the other is that they say that when we tell somebody, they say, but so and so alim, great alim, they also on TV, they also on YouTube, so what is the answer to that? So inshallah, with regard to that. So with regard to the thing of necessity, there are principles of Sharia are very clear on these matters. The one is that al-darurat tubihul mahzurat, that a necessity permits a thing which is not permitted normally, which is haram. And we should understand here, there is a great difference of making a halal haram. There are haram halal or haram halal, and one is permitting it. There is a great difference between the two. For example, we are driving on the road and there is some obstruction. Allah save us all, maybe an accident or something, and the traffic officer himself is guiding the traffic to cross over the barrier lines. Not only one solid line, there may be three solid lines. And he is guiding you, he said, to go across it. Now you cross over it, which is a forbidden thing. But now, because he is there, he is telling you to cross it. You go in front and you overtake now on a single solid line. And the same traffic officer pulls you up now. And he wants to give you a fine now. And you tell him, but you permitted me to go over three solid lines. And now I go over only one, and now you have a problem with that. So we understand that there it was a necessity. And the other rule of necessity is al-zaruratu tataqaddaru biqadri al-zarura. A necessity is only to the extent of what it is necessary. Like for example in the Quran Sharif, that if a person illa man ukriha wa qalbuhu mutma'innun bil iman, if somebody is forced to say words of kufr, he has the permission to say the words of kufr, but only for that time and only outwardly, not in his heart. Wa qalbuhu mutma'innun bil iman, in his heart, though there also, the better is that you don't say that words of kufr, you give your life. And in all these matters, generally, whenever anything happens with us, other people, we say, what will the people say? What will happen? But we seldom think, what will Allah say? What will be the consequence in the qabr, in the akhirat? And a mu'min is he who does not think what the people say, what the people will think, but that what will be the consequence in the qabr, what will be by Allah Ta'ala, how will Allah be happy with me, angry with me, that is what we should consider. But we immediately just think what people will say. So anyway, so according to the necessity, also for example, eating of haram food is haram, it's not permitted. But if a person, a person who becomes helpless, his life is at stake, he has got no food, there is only haram, then that person is not in disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. It's not that he's in his nature to break the laws of Allah. وَلَا عَادٍ, and he doesn't go over the limits, then he is permitted at that time to eat that haram. That haram is still haram, but he is permitted to eat it to save his life. So only so much he must eat, not with relish or enjoyment or fill his stomach, but only so much that he can save his life. So that is what is zarurat. So with regard to photography also, where there is a zarurat. And very important here, don't make our own decision that it is a necessity. Ask a mufti. And that necessity, very important also, it must be, according to Shariat, a legal, valid necessity. Otherwise, just on our own, we declare anything as a necessity. Now, ask a mufti, this is my situation, this is what I'm involved in, this is what I have to do, and is it permitted for me to do this haram? Not that the haram, you are making it halal. It is still haram, but the permission at that time. So we have to ask a mufti. Similarly, also, many other things also. Today, sitting on the chair has become very common. At one time, there was no chairs in the masjid whatsoever. And unfortunately, it has become so common, there are masjids that they've got fixed benches on the side. And the fear is that it over time, if we see the Christian religion, we see that they also, at times, they go in the pathway in the middle, and they kneel down there. So it appears that in their ibadat, there was also ruku, sajda. But they started sitting on chairs. Now the whole church is filled with chairs. Khuda na khasta. And today is the time that the impossible we see is happening. That our masjids get full with chairs and benches. There are already so many masjids we see in some parts of the world that on the sides there are permanent benches. And people just come and sit there. So if we end today, and if we're seeing so many people sitting on a chair, then without reason, young people also, we see them sitting on a chair. You're just perhaps feeling a bit tired or a bit lazy, and you sit on a chair. So we should ask a mufti, put our situation to him, this is my problem, is it permissible to sit? And also there, preferably if we have to sit, and we can sit, then sit on the floor. If not, then the chair, and also instead of the chair, a stool without the backrest. Because we find out the masala also, if we rest in a farz namaz and we take support, then what is the condition, what are the rulings? So we should find out the rulings. It must not happen that whole life we are making namaz, but when we go in the qabr, we see it was not deposited there. We were depositing in our account, but we made a mistake, and it was not no record of it. And we see that nothing is recorded there in our account. So it is very important that we consider these matters. So a necessity one is when there is a legal, valid reason for it according to Shariat. And that is not our, as layman, for us to decide on that. That a mufti will decide. That when is it necessary, when is it not necessary. And the other is very important that today, because of perhaps the permission given, or that it has been declared as halal, it's gone right out of bounds. The photos are just taken, so much so, as we all know, right in the Haramain Sharifain, right in front of the Kaaba, right in front of Rawdah-e Mubarak, and there is no limit to it. People are taking selfies, and from there, they are sending it over to their home countries, and they are showing, this has completely killed the life, the ruh of Hajj, Umrah, Ziyarat, and the whole ruh and life of Deen has been taken out. As Maulana Hanif Jalandri, Damat Barakatum, says that our masjids have been turned into wedding halls. The way the photos are being taken in the masjid, where there is no control, then the sanctity of the masjid is also totally lost. And how in a wedding hall, that atmosphere that is there, that kind of atmosphere has come in the masjid, where the malaika abound, and now we are, so to say, chasing them away. and the shayateen, we are inviting them even in the masajid. So this is very important, and also we must remember to make a haram halal, that is kufr. And to permit it for a genuine reason, legal genuine reason, according to Shariat, that is permissible to the extent that it is permissible. One person, in a mufti in Pakistan, he had a program in a masjid, so he asked the imam that my programs are all videoed, the video cameras and that will be there. You have a problem. So he said, I've got no problem, but here is a jamaat here, 1 year jamaat, ulama jamaat. They are here, and perhaps they will have a problem. So he says, no problem, I'll sort them out, as long as you haven't got a problem. So then he started his talk and about photography and proving it correct. Now one thing, internationally all know, whether we are in jamaat, we're not in jamaat. Even if we are against jamaat, we know jamaat people don't debate, they don't argue. They just do their work, they will lose the argument, whatever you want to tell them, they will just listen quietly. So that is no reason to think that we had no answers, that the jamaat got no answers. In most cases they have got the answers, but the usul, the principle is not to debate, not to argue, they will just keep quiet and listen. But this mufti thought better, and he was now debating with them, and they were just keeping quiet. So he put this situation to them, and he told them that he said that you people, you are going 1 year in jamaat to foreign countries, so you have also taken photos for your passport in order to go and so forth. And you say it is for the tabligh of deen. And when I come on TV, on the YouTube, also for the tabligh of deen, then it's a problem. So why these double standards? For you it is permissible, for me it's not permissible. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. If it's permissible for you people, then it must be permissible for me. But it is quite clear, of course the jamaat didn't reply, but it is quite clear that the jamaat, to get a passport, you have to take a photo, unfortunately, that's the international law. And for you to go on TV, YouTube, nobody is forcing you. You are doing it fully out of your own free will. You are not being forced. To get the passport, you are being forced. You won't get a passport without that. And here you are doing it of your own free will. And the other thing is that the jamaat is going, and they are going to give da'wat very close to the sunnat way, one-on-one, personally. And you are using technology. If technology is within the limits, it's permitted, but it's not yet the ideal. The ideal is that the da'wat be given personally, one-on-one. Yeah, and you address the person personally, and over online, and that is not really the system. And the other is that they are doing it involuntarily. You are doing it not only voluntarily, but with great passion you are appearing. And if you do come on TV, on YouTube, then why must your photo be there? What is the necessity? You can have Kaaba Sharif's photo there, you can have Rozai Mubarak, any other beautiful scenery. It's not that there is so much noor in your face, and the Kaaba doesn't have that noor. So it's not necessary that your picture be there. And when, especially even worse, your photo will be not only viewed by males, which is also haram, but even by females. So what is the necessity of that? So that argument, though the jamaat didn't answer, but it holds no water whatsoever. With regard to that, a malfooz of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali is very, very applicable, and Allah let us understand and take lesson from it. Maulana on one occasion said that if you cannot make your full islah and proper islah, then at least do two things. One thing is make sure your aqaid are correct. Today this is a very, very dangerous thing, that aqaid, beliefs are also going incorrect. So we should make sure, study kitabs with regard to aqaid which are written by ulama of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and make sure that our beliefs are according to that. If we don't understand anything, don't follow our what we don't understand, and we make decisions and we want things to be according to our understanding. Accept it as it is. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi himself, what a great alim, but he says that I've opened two accounts. One account of all the things that I understand and I accept it, and what I don't understand, I don't prove myself right, I don't force my thinking, but I put it in that account of what I don't understand. And when a person does that, from time to time, Allah gives you the understanding. When you want to have, be complete on deen. So he says, as I understand certain things which I didn't understand, then I transfer them from that account which I did not understand to that account now to what I understand. So everything is perfect. Allah's knowledge, Allah's system, where our little brains are so small, where can we fathom, where can we think? So don't think if I don't understand, then it's not right. Your brain is no criteria. What brains have we got? Not even bird brains we got. So accept what Allah Ta'ala has said. And the day Allah give you the understanding of that, make shukr to that. And all of us there, we say many times, I never understood this. Then this happened, I understood it. Later in my life, long in my life, then I understood it. Before, I never understood it. So there are many things which we don't understand. So don't deny what we don't understand. Accept it with our yaqeen. Though our mind cannot comprehend it, but accept it. And the day Allah opens it up and we do understand, make shukr. The second thing Maulana told, which is more relevant, he said, دوسرے جو ناجائز اعمال آپ کرتے ہیں, the haram things which you are doing, he told the people, ان کو حرام سمجھ کر کرے. The wrong things that we are doing, even if we are involved in photography, in interest, in music, in any haram, but accept it as haram. Understand it to be haram. Kheench taan kar unke jaiz karne ki koshish na kare. Don't try and prove it jaiz with your own fancy proofs and daleels. And all what you try, according to your thinking, from Quran and Hadith, what are clear-cut haram things, is known even to the ordinary layman. You don't have to be a great alim, or a great, having lot of knowledge of deen. What are clear-cut haram things are very clear. So don't try and prove them jaiz and permissible. Kyunki aapke laghwa ta'wil se haram fail halal to nahi ho sakta. Because of your stupid arguments and your stupid reasoning, the haram won't become halal. You might satisfy yourself, you might fool some people, lot of people also you might fool, but the fact remains that you are just fooling yourself, and with your useless argument, the haram does not become halal, it remains halal. مگر اس تعویل سے یہ مفسدہ لازم آئے گا. But this argumentation of yours and trying to prove a haram halal, what will happen? One definite thing will happen, کہ آپ حرام کو حلال سمجھیں گے. Now you will consider haram to be halal, اور حرام کو حلال سمجھنا کفر ہے. And to take a thing which is a clear cut haram, to take it as halal, that is kufr. That is much, much more worse. قطعی یا ظنی, تو یہ حالت سخت خطرناک ہے. Whether this is absolute or whether it is a possibility, but in any case it is a very serious thing to make a haram halal. اور اگر حرام سمجھ کر کریں گے تو کفر کا خطرہ نہ رہے گا. And if you take it that I'm involved in haram, I'm guilty, I'm a sinner, then you won't be involved in kufr. Humility will come in you. All the time you won't think of yourself as pious, that I'm involved in guna, in big gunas I'm involved in. صرف معصیت رہ جائے گی. And then it won't be kufr, it will be a sin only. یہ کفر سے احون ہے. And sinning is much more lower than what kufr is. Kufr is the worst thing. دوسرے جب آپ اس کو حرام سمجھتے رہیں گے, another point is that if you will accept it as حرام, I'm doing wrong, تو کیا عجب ہے کہ کسی وقت توبہ کی توفیق ہو جائے. It's not surprising and strange and far-fetched that very soon you get the توفیق to make توبہ. You'll realize, and any person who feels guilty, that person will ask for forgiveness. And a person who made the haram halal, and now it is halal, so he won't, I'm not a sinner, pride will come in him, and he won't make tawbah, he won't think of making tawbah. اور اگر مان لیا کہ آپ عمر بھر ان افعال کو نہ چھوڑ سکے, اینڈ ایف یور ہول لائف یو کوڈنٹ گیو اپ دیٹ حرام, بٹ یو ٹک اٹ ایز حرام, یو ایکسپٹڈ اٹ ایز حرام, تو کفر سے تو بچاؤ رہے گا, یو ول بی سیوڈ فرام کفر, اینڈ یور ہول لائف یو مے ڈیڈنٹ میک توبہ, آخرت اللہ فور گیوز ان گریٹ گریٹ اماؤنٹ, Allah will forgive you. And if Allah did not forgive you and you have to go to Jahannam, you'll have to pay for it. But then finally you will come out and permanently, forever and ever, you will go to Jannah. But if you made that haram halal and now you have to die in the state of kufr, now you all the time, qabr, you are in big, big, big problems. Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in his one kitab, Alam-e-Barzakh, he has written that for in the qabr, there are those people whose qabr will be filled with boiling hot water. Now imagine for yourself to be in boiling hot water and no mafar, no escape from there. There will be people who will be in sizzling hot, hot oil, which is even worse than boiling water. Boiling water is nothing small or less. How it will burn you and no mort will come there. You will live forever. So how terrible that life is. So kufr and shirk are those gunas which if we did not make tawbah from them and you die in that condition. And then that making a haram halal, that is very, very serious. If you have to fall in a haram and it is legal permission, you won't be taken to task for that. When you just kept to your limit. And even if there wasn't any legal permission and you understood and accepted it is haram, you will feel guilty, you will make tawbah also. And if not, it won't be kufr. Finally, you will enter Jannah, even if Allah save us from all the punishment of this dunya and akhirat. And finally, you will enter Jannah and forever and ever you will remain. So it is a very serious matter. Then the other question that people say, that you're saying it's haram, but names of big, big ulama, they are on YouTube, they are on TV, many, many great ulama, they appear also. So what is the answer to that? So we had discussed it quite a few times, that name change and method change does not change the reality. The reality still remains the reality. And besides that, another very important thing is, anyone doing haram, anyone, whoever it is who does a haram, does not make it halal. Whoever it is who does a haram, it does not make that haram into halal. And this is borne out in the Quran Sharif, where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم. Very important and beautiful point. Quran is Quran Sharif. The perfection of Quran, you can't imagine it. Ulama have written that the Yahud and Nasara, they are being referred to, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم. All the learned people, and they were not ordinary learned, very great alims they were in their religion, and their mashayikh, their pious people, their ulama and their pious people, the people made them gods besides Allah Ta'ala. Then Allah refers to Wal Masih ibn Maryam separately. And they made Isa alayhi salam also a god besides Allah Ta'ala. The reason why both they have made gods are different. Isa alayhi salam, we know they worship him, they have their statue, they regard him as part of God Trinity, as the Son of God they regard him. So that is open kufr. They have made actual partners with Allah Ta'ala. But the pious people and the ulama, that they made them gods, it was not that they worshipped them. Like, for example, we have the bidat is commonly that by the sheikh, they'll make sajda to the sheikh. At the cover of the peer sub, they'll go and make tawaf there, etc. So this is actual ibadat of that person. This is not referred to the that they made gods out of their pious people and their learned people. What it was, when they gave their rulings against the rulings of Allah Ta'ala. What Allah had made haram, they made it halal. That is being referred to, that they have made them gods besides Allah Ta'ala. So when those great ulama of theirs and the great mashayikh, Allah says, when they end, those rulings are clear in deen. Deen is a clear cut matter. The finer points, details, that is different. But deen matters, ordinary people also understand it. So the things that were haram, they made them halal. The reasons are various. For money they did it, which is common. They sold their deen. They were sellouts. And they sold their deen, etc. And for paltry, useless gain of this dunya, they please the people and take money from the people. They change the laws. And the ummah, our ummah is united on the terrible actions of the Jews and Christians when they did this. But when we ourselves are involved in it, then we take a different stand. For them we say that how could they sell their religion? How stupid, they sold their religion for the sake of this dunya. But when we have been now caught up in the same thing, and Allah has mentioned it in the Quran, so we take heed. So that we are not sellouts. And this is particularly for the ulama and for the pious people. So clearly the Quran Sharif has made it that whoever does it, even the very pious people and the very religious people who did it, Allah Ta'ala exposed it in the Quran to make it clear to us, and that we don't fall in that trap. So no matter who does a haram, it's a haram. We try and cover up, but it's a haram, it's a haram. And when that people, those people are muqtada. At one time in Masjid al-Nabawi, one good friend of ours, a Qari, and mashallah, big alim also, it just happened that a few days we just bumped into one another. We were together in the Haram Sharif. Otherwise, Haram is so big, you don't usually just meet up. You meet a person once, perhaps you don't meet him again. But a few days we were just meeting up with one another. So Adhan was going, and when the Muazzin said, Ashhadu anna Muhammad al-Rasulullah. So he repeated, we replied to the other, and he also said, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then I told him that you are a muqtada, a leader. People look up to you. You're a big alim, you're a big qari. And to read Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is not the appropriate place. In the hadith it comes, say what the muazzin said, except for hayya al-salah, hayya al-falah, as-salatu khayru minan nawm. But the other words, so the muazzin is not saying it, so you also should not say it. And this is all the barakat of our shaykh, he taught us. And then it comes in the hadith, when adhan is finished, and you repeated the words of the adhan, thumma sallu aliyya. Then, and thumma comes according to Arabic grammar for delayed action, taraqi. Now read Durood Sharif. You wanted to read there, but don't read it there. Now read the Durood Sharif. And then make the dua of wasila, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will intercede for us. So who is muqtada, they have to be more careful of their action. Because the people follow them. So whoever it is, we should be very concerned when Allah puts a person in that position, that people follow him, people listen to him, and he's in a leadership position, he must be more careful. But if he's doing a wrong, it's a wrong. It doesn't justify it. You don't have to run down the person, you don't have to belittle him or anything, but if he's a leader type, then you have to warn the people. In suitable words, you have to warn the people that this is wrong what this person is doing. You cannot, Manana Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali should put it in a very beautiful way. He should say, if a Quran Sharif is printed with errors in it, then you won't read that Quran Sharif. But that Quran Sharif, you'll take it and bury it or lock it up somewhere. Yeah, in our library and most of our madrasas, we have to keep kitabs of the people who, like the Shias, Qadianis, but we don't put it in the ordinary section where everyone has access to it. It's locked up in a separate room. Those who have to study it, who have to know about it, and who are who can, they are permitted to read those kitabs. It's not for everyone. So therefore, if there are mistakes in any person's life, it's his mistake. If he can acknowledge it, very good for him. If he doesn't, unfortunate. Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi Rahmat. What a great alim. The ulama that we have now, he was a far superior alim. But he also acknowledged all his mistakes. In the same way, Maulana Abul Kalam Azad, also a very great alim, but he also acknowledged his mistakes. Then a few incidents we'll mention, we, of my personal experience or first-hand knowledge, what we got of, what our ulama and buzurg's attitude was with regard to photography. One was Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Gangohi Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, which many of us know, many of us have seen also. On one occasion, somebody brought the photos of our buzurgs to him. Those they go around, they're on the internet also, we'll never ever go and see them also. And many people have got this collection, and good pious people keep this collection. So with great enthusiasm, like an act of piety, he showed Mufti Sahib. Mufti Sahib took it and immediately tore it up. So we can see how strict they were. And the pictures of porn is filthy, dirty, is totally haram. But the pictures of buzurgs is more haram. Because that can lead you to idol worship. And the pictures of porn and filthy woman, etc., naked woman, will, your guna of lust will be there. And that guna is much less. It's a terrible guna. But it isn't a shirk. And the photos of buzurgs can lead you to shirk. The same way when they appear on TV and people who phoned and explained their own experiences, how they, what great respect, admiring of these people they have in their heart. And I explained a few times in Indonesia, myself, they told me to make namazes in the shops, in the houses, and wherever it was, the pictures of the buzurgs are hanging on top. There is where you must make sajda. So when it has reached this proportion already, we can imagine how terrible it is. Another is that Allama Yusuf bin Nuri Rahmatullah Ali, in 1970, there was an Islamic convention in Cairo, Egypt, and he was sent as a delegate from Pakistan. After the whole convention was over, then the ex-president, Jamal Abdul Nasser, in the presidential house, the announcement was made, he'll meet with all the ulama, and he'll take photos with them. And if they ever want to tell him something, they may say so. So all Allama Yusuf bin Nuri Rahmatullah Ali said, most of those ulama became very happy when they take a photo with the president of the country, ex-president. So they were very happy, and they all were lining up, and they were being called to go and make, he says at that time, my waters got, I sweated. Now what is going to happen? He says, I haven't got that taqwa and that piety that I can save myself from this guna. But how can I? And he says that I did my gharat, that is my respect, self-respect and honor of deen. Allah's fazl, it came to the fore that I cannot do this. That what, and I will follow the way of our elders, that it is haram. Now where the whole situation, all are happy, all are smiling, and they are doing, and I'm the one person odd out. So when my turn was coming near, I went and sit in one room. And he says, it happened so that that room was directly opposite the president. And he was looking at me a few times that I'm sitting there. Then he told two of the mashayikh of Azhar, the ulama of Azhar, that called that Pakistani sheikh Pakistani Maulana, tell him also to come and take a photo with me. Hazrat says, Allah's fazal, at that time Allah put it in my heart that I won't, that what is my Kabir and my Aslaf's tariqa, I will remain firm to that. When they came and told me, then I told them, I don't regard it as correct. And the honor that will be there, like taking a photo, that in my deen, it has got no honor. I don't have any regard for it. And he explained to them. He says they went and tell him, and I couldn't hear what they told him, whether they conveyed my message correctly, incorrectly, I don't know. But then after all this was finished, then I had the opportunity to go and meet him. Then I met him, and I told him that Allah has given you a very strong heart, and you're a very big, strong person. If you use it to connect with Allah Ta'ala, you will become even more stronger. I gave him a good message. He thought of my message, and then he shook my hands a few times, hold it very well. He dropped it a little bit. It's a sign of acceptance, and I acknowledge and I appreciate what you have said. He said, I made dua to Allah. I don't think I'll get an opportunity to give him da'wah again. The president of the country, or me, an ordinary person, where? But then I gave him that da'wah. So that was his condition. Our Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Fakhruddin Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, was the Sheikh al-Hadith of Darul Deoband for so many years, and greatly internationally renowned, great figure. On one occasion, we were having sabak, and the hall of the Darul Hadith had a balcony. And somebody informed Hazrat that somebody, newspaper reporters, they are taking photos. They got their cameras and they want to take photo because they wanted to put the whole thing in the newspaper, all the students learning and Hazrat teaching. How angry Hazrat got. We knew Hazrat what his nature was, but his anger was uncontrollable. And he shouted from there, and those people just grabbed what they can of their cameras and that, and they ran from there. Just by his shouting, they became very, very frightened. So this was the condition of our elders. Once when I was in Trinidad, one of our safars, then the Darul Uloom there, one of our ulama friends are there, so they phoned me and they told me that we want you to make bayan in the main masjid, Munro Road Masjid, for Jummah. So I agreed. I said, no problem. Then afterwards he phoned back, but he says, we have to tell you, I suppose they knew my disposition, that everything is videoed, and it comes on TV, on the main TV channel. It will come. Have you got a problem with that? I said, of course I've got a problem with that. They said, then they explained that they are doing it in the intelligence, for the government, to transparency, that we are what we do and that we are very transparent, and the government must know. So I say, which government is there which haven't got that intelligence to know? They know everything. Their intelligence is everywhere. They got their spies everywhere. Yeah, amongst us, they got their spies also. Their spies are everywhere, whether it's the madrasa, whether it's our khanka. They've got their spies, and they are sitting with us here also. So they know. So, but anyway, they said, okay, you carry on with the bayan, we'll remove all that. They removed it. Then they phoned, they told me again they phoned me, that was the Jummah, that for Sunday, they're having their annual Bukhari Sharif Jalsa, and they want me to give a talk there. So I said, no problem, but again they said, it is all on TV, and also there is a screen on the ladies' side, and then that whatever is happening here in the men will be shown by the ladies also. Have you got a problem with that? So then they added, there was a very big sheikh of India present, and they said the sheikh has got no problem. So I said, what is my knowledge, what is my taqwa, I got nothing. I can't, when you're telling me such a big sheikh who is renowned and we all accept him, then give me an hour's time. Then I phoned Hazrat in Karachi, and I asked Hazrat. Hazrat immediately said, never ever. Don't even ever think about it. Not at all. And then I told them, then they removed it also. They said, you give your talk, we won't have all that. So, and Hazrat was so strict. Hazrat's standing rule in his life and after his life, anyone he has given khilafat and ijazat, and he comes on TV, video, his khilafat is cancelled immediately. And this is, to explain it, one person of South Africa, famous sportsman, became murid of Hazrat. He went to Karachi and he stayed there also. And afterwards he was, mashallah, he took lot of effect. And he grew his beard also, he didn't have a beard, everything he did. But afterwards he shaved his beard. Then this news came there to the Khanka, to Hazrat, and there. So Mir Sahib, Hazrat's main man, he said that, now the question was, is his Khilafat still in place or not? He has shaven his big beard. So Mir Sahib said, there is no question of his Khilafat. When he shaved his beard, he shaved his Khilafat off also. There is no question the Khilafat doesn't remain. So whoever it is, while the Shaykh was living after he passed, the same ruling Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali gave also. So anyone, Hazrat has said, and Murid and Khulafa of Hazrat, who also appear on TV, but Hazrat's standing command that you appear on TV, YouTube, anything of pictures, then your Khilafat is cancelled immediately. It doesn't have to be cancelled. It just gets cancelled automatically. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written, which we read every year in Fazail-e Ramadan, that on Laylatul Qadr, the Malaika come to the houses of all the believers. In there, Hazrat has written, one person might have kept a photo in the house, which is displayed. If it is covered, it's hidden, it's a different thing, but it's displayed, it deprives the whole household of the barakat of that Laylatul Qadr. Of the Malaika entering there, they are not allowed. So the whole sum total of this is that we must be on our guard. We know it is such a thing that it's almost impossible to stay away. The taking of photos, that definitely is out of the question. Never ever, no matter what tempts us. Today it is so easy on the cell phone to take a photo. And anything, you see your 2-year-old child, very cute the child is. He's performing, he's doing something. You even feel like videoing it. You just want to take a photo. Never ever do that haram. And the seeing of photos is also haram. But it is so widespread that it is almost impossible. A person is sitting, is making namaz, and he's got his ID card with him also. Not displayed, it is covered in his wallet, in his pouch, in his pocket or so, but it is there. So what is necessity, and to the extent of necessity, and necessity, permission doesn't make the haram halal. It is permitted for that, and let us not make our own decisions. Let us get a ruling from a reliable mufti whether this is permitted or not. Allah Ta'ala protect us, and the main thing is not our life of this dunya, not to please people, not to make the people happy, but our life of akhirat. Everyone is going in his own qabr. Yeah, we can carry on, shout, scream, make a noise, make the people happy, we can do whatever we want to. But in the qabr will be our matter. And we can stand at the qabr there, we don't know what is happening underneath. So, and we are also going that same route. There is no other way that we are going. And what is going to happen there? Qiyamah's day, what will happen? And Allah save us from His wrath and anger, save us from Jahannam. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah, bihamdihi.